Hello, friends. We are beginning with esoteric astrology. Not esoteric astrology, that's already done. A treatise on cosmic fire, but I noticed that the end of the esoteric astrology book was very filled with treatise on cosmic fire sections. And so I thought, since I have not really finished the last 100 pages, I was doing written commentary on Cosmic Fire. Since I haven't finished it, I would do audio, video commentary on it, and that's where we are at this time. We're beginning with Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries, 6A on page 1202. And make sure my little red bracket is there. Before continuing our consideration of the particular hierarchies, it is necessary to point out that in these hierarchies, certain of them are termed dominant hierarchies, and others subsidiary hierarchies. I suppose at any one time, none remain dominant forever. Other subsidiary hierarchies. There is a section where DK talks about this dominant and subsidiary quality in relation to, let's see, right around Cosmic Fire, about page 600 and so forth. Let's see here. Okay, it's not, doesn't want to quite go. Uh-huh. So let's see. We're on page 600, and a treatise of cosmic fire, and let's see if we can go a little lower. Here they are. The following table may be of interest if regarded as relative, relative to time, I would say, and holding information for the present time, but also being subject to change in circulation. These are the major rays, 1, 2, and 7, interesting in terms of converging on the fifth. That's interesting. Interesting in terms of the major period of synthesis through which we are passing. Sometimes the seventh ray is considered a synthetic ray instead of the third. The seven principles, the three major ones, are the monad, ego, personality at various stages. The four subsidiaries, synthesizing at various stages, the four subsidiary. The chains of our particular scheme, the first, the fourth, and the seventh, so we see we're living in a major chain. The planes, the monadic, the mental, and the physical. So in the Aquarian age, when the fifth and the seventh rays are so powerful, also the second ray because of the Christ and his reappearance, these are going to be prominent rays in the Aquarian age, emphasizing the union of monad and soul and the manifestation upon the physical plane. Manvantaras, or rounds, well, let's see. Well, that's kind of interesting. Manvantaras are usually considered to be rounds. However, there are different ways of looking at this. There are chain rounds and there are scheme rounds. And maybe we're looking here at chain rounds, third, fourth, and seventh, in which case we would be in a major chain round, the third having gone before, and much relationship between the fourth and the third, and the seventh promising that in our planet there will be actually, well, at least in our chain there will be seven, but when it comes to rounds, they may be scheme rounds, and we are in the fourth, Venus in the fifth, the next one coming, very important, but also seemingly promising a seventh round. The root races, interesting that it's the odd numbers, and this would be the Lemurian root race third, the Aryan race the fifth, and the seventh root race by whatever name it might be called. Now, the major sub-races, does that mean for our fifth root race? The first is the, in a way, the Indian or Hindu sub-race, and then the Teutonic, and then the one to come, probably starting in some 2,000 years and actually lasting for, well, no, I can't say that. This is the In our fifth root race, we have the Teutonic subrace, and the sixth subrace in which the abstract mind will be cultivated. The first, the fourth, and the fifth initiations, the birth of the Christ, the crucifixion which no longer necessitates reincarnation, at least it's a matter of choice, and the fifth of revelation, if viewed from the angle of human attainment, and 1, 5, and 7, if viewed from higher attainment, which would be the first planetary initiation, the first Sirian initiation, and the seventh is solar mastership and Sirian transfiguration. So anyway, if these are regarded as relative to the period of time in which the through which the planet is passing or through which the solar system is passing, then they are obtaining at least for this time. And so here we have there was nothing mentioned about the spiritual hierarchies, but here we have those that are dominant and those that are subsidiary, yes. By this is meant that certain of them are in this solar system, expressing themselves more fully than at others, and this will probably change in the next solar system. In the next solar system, as that system will be ruled by a different personality ray for the solar logos. And there may be, of course, other changes. All is ever shifting and changing according to the law of mutation, and that is not a random and haphazard shifting. That is something that is all well planned out, but unless we understand the laws of cycles, we're not going to understand these shifts. And this necessarily entails the consequence that their vibration is more to be felt than by the subsidiary groups. So the dominant groups are the second, fourth, and fifth, the so-called prototypes of the monads, the human creative hierarchy, and the solar angelic creative hierarchy. These are all, let's just say, these are creative hierarchies with which the human being has much to do, and are the major cause of his demonstration in the five lower worlds and in the three lower worlds. So the second creative hierarchy is the great expression of duality, the Son, as he vitalizes the Son of God, or the soul nature. Okay. Time for another one of those SLN. Let's see, SLN. And we'll try to make that appear. Okay, come on now. There we go. SLN. And we'll call this soul nature. Okay, the soul nature of the solar logos as it vitalizes the sun and its solar system. A great expression of duality. Well, you know, if really burning suns of desire, that would be another good one, wouldn't it? Excuse me for this. Yeah, I think this would be good. Burning suns of desire, especially when you're dealing with creative hierarchies. So the burning suns of desire express the duality of desire. The second plane on which they focus is also a dual plane, just as the ray of love wisdom. Yeah, and I guess I have abbreviatitis at the moment. Ray of love wisdom. we'll call it this way, the ray of love, wisdom, just as the ray of love, wisdom is a dual ray, love and wisdom, of course. So the monad actually carries the influence of two rays generically. The first ray of spirit and the second ray of the second plane on which the monad is first focused. Maybe there will be another focus once it is released. Almost certainly this will be the case. Let's take a look here. We'll let the Maurya Federation go there for a moment. And the divine builders, they are the burning sons of desire. Virgo brings in the great second ray. The planet Jupiter looks like both a 4 and has the number 2 in it as well. The ideal is involved. And it's the, you know, it's the first plane of form building. The second ray is the ray of form building. Okay. And I see another abbreviation I would like. I must have awakened with a FB. Okay, we'll call it form building. The second ray is the ray of form building, in this case, through seven great sounds. So, yes, the second is the great expression of duality, and in a way, the second plane is a mediating plane between the free monad or released volatile essence and the, well, I'm going to use a crazy word, Brahmified monad, the monad having descended onto through the jiva into the five worlds of Brahma, the atmic plane being the first world. I guess I'm writing more now than I did in the past, but maybe writing slows down. Whoa, there's a picture. Writing slows down my speaking, which is probably better in ways for assimilation. When I'm listening to a lecture, I don't want someone to talk so fast that I can't assimilate it, but I sometimes forget that when I'm giving the lecture. The fourth creative hierarchy is the hierarchy of human monads, who are the mediators. Again, interesting. So the creative hierarchy, too, are mediators between the highest archetypal world and the first world of manifestation where the AUM sounds. So the OM is a mediating sound. And in one way, in one way is characterizing the monadic world. It also characterizes the world of the soul. The fourth creative hierarchy is the hierarchy of human monads, which are the mediators or the synthesizers. Let's just say, okay, synthesizers between the three higher creative hierarchies and the three lower, and also in its expression as the human kingdom between the three higher kingdoms and the three lower. They express the gain of System 1. Remember that we were told we were told. I like that. TLD. Must be going through a wave of abbreviation here, right? We were told that the lower four creative hierarchies all still had something to work out in relation to the energies of the previous solar system. So this includes the human creative hierarchy, and I think especially the lower part of the creative hierarchy number 5 of solar angels, with the lower part relating to the personality having something yet to work out. And so they express the gain of System 1 and the goal of System 2, and we seem to understand that in System 3, creative hierarchy 4 would be the foremost creative hierarchy on the highest plane, along with 2 subsidiary. And the 4 had become the 3. Okay, and then the 5th creative hierarchy, or the 10th, depending on how you count, is closely linked with the 5 liberated hierarchies, and is an expression of their synthesized life. So, in a lesser way, the higher qualities of the 5 Kumaras, each of which is a liberated or almost liberated creative hierarchy, are expressed within the hierarchy of solar angels or Petris. There's so many different names, you know, so what to call them. We can just call them hierarchy number 5 if we want to call them that. I sometimes have said that there are 5 noticeable functions or approaches of this creative hierarchy, and I listed them, but really, as with all creative hierarchies, there are probably 7, but we talked about those who incarnated in the early vehicles of the newly made human being, more an animal than a man, and those who worked in connection with the monastic permanent Adam, those who worked in connection with the maybe the jewel and the lotus and the 3 synthesizing petals, those who work in connection with the 9 petals, those who work in connection with the the members of the atomic triangle. And if I wanted to include those who work with the petals as one group, I would say there were those who fanned the flame, or fanned the monastic unit into a blaze which provided some degree of self-consciousness, but who did not invest themselves with a fragment of themselves into the energy system of animal man. So they fanned the flame and then perhaps left the newly made human being to itself to pursue a very slow evolution. Anyway, I couldn't come up with a full seven functions, but he says every creative hierarchy has seven orders, so we would have to find this in the, not only in man, the human hierarchy, but in the solar angelic hierarchy. And each creative hierarchy has, let us say, nine initiations, just as the human creative hierarchy has. In other words, seven types of formal divisions or functional divisions and nine expansions of consciousness. So just think for a moment of what the difference is between a newly made human being and a master of the wisdom who is still a human being and even a planetary spirit, such as the Chohans are. What a huge difference spanning the developmental possibilities of a creative hierarchy. And we'll just think of it. We're dealing not only with the first initiation, but with a period that antedates the first initiation by maybe 21 million years. Now is the time when quite a number will take that first initiation, but they may even be from the moonshine. So suppose that such a span as exists within the fourth or human creative hierarchy existed within the fifth creative hierarchy of solar petries or solar angels. What a great difference there would be in their relative function. I mean, you can understand some solar angels, their entire scope might be to somehow inform or sustain a petal of the egoic lotus. Others might work with a tier, an entire tier of the egoic lotus. Others might work with all three tiers, and others might work with all petals and even the jewel, you know. There are different initiatory levels of solar angels, is what I'm trying to say. And the higher they are, the greater their emanation. There are different initiatory levels of solar angels, and the higher they are, the more plentiful their emanations. Like I've often said, that the our egoic lotus is a group phenomenon, just in a way as the way our personality is. And the major solar angel, which who knows what level of initiation it is within that fifth creative hierarchy, emanates lesser solar angels. They are not born in the manner of generation, I think. Let's say the greater solar angels emanate lesser ones who have a smaller scope of function. What is the initiatory level of our major solar angel? Well, you might almost ask, what is the initiatory level of that elemental who serves as our personality when compared to the elementals which serve as the embodiment of the mental, emotional, or physical vehicles? There's a hierarchy there, too. So our personality is, in a way, a group being, and our egoic lotus is, in a way, a group being. Our personality and also our egoic lotus are group beings. Well, anyway, I have the feeling that I'm not sure to what extent emanation is involved in producing the personality of man. These are different types of elementals working their way up, but when it comes to the solar angel, I think each one of us has a superior solar angel, and the lesser Petries are all an aspects of that particular supervisory solar angel. What level of initiation? I mean, what an unusual thought in a way. But given that every hierarchy has seven levels of function and nine levels of initiation, an interesting 16, it is a legitimate question to ask, but not one we can answer. It might therefore be said that the fifth hierarchy serves as the representative of the five liberated groups, the ten serving or representing the five, as it were, the tenth representing the five, the tenth, representing the fifth. And the fourth is the representative group in this system. But let's just say the five liberated creative hierarchies. And I think it's time to make another abbreviation. Five liberated creative hierarchies. Okay. Five liberated creative hierarchies. Okay. And the five liberated creative hierarchies in a way represent the previous solar system and are not actually part of our solar system if we consider the system to be that which expresses on the cosmic etheric, cosmic physical plane. So whilst the second represents for man, or these two groups united, that which is the spirit aspect, the Father, the unknown. So man is a union, and this is something we really have to get. Man is the union of the human monads and the deva, and the expression, helpful expression, of certain advanced deva monads. Man is the four plus the five equals the nine, and all of those numbers are certainly there, aren't they? Here's the five, here's the four, and here's humanity's nine. So when you look at these, the human hierarchy plus the two aspects of the of the fifth creative hierarchy make the nine, which is the number also of the human creative hierarchy when counting from the topmost hierarchy on the liberated hierarchy on the cosmic astral plane. So whilst the spirit aspect, the second represents for man, or these two groups united, that which is spirit aspect, the Father, the unknown. So for most of us, the Father is the unknown, and how much more unknown is the life of the liberated monad on the monad in the sea of fire, which is the true home of Shambhala. Well, we talk about these things from our mental perspective, but obviously the time must come when we are able to be focused on and in those levels and see for ourselves. All right, well, here comes this mysterious hierarchy about which we so often talk, the fifth creative hierarchy. Okay. Every once in a while, for reasons unknown, I lose my audio connection, but it has been now apparently restored. The fifth creative hierarchy is, as we know from a study of the secret doctrine, a most mysterious one, and I want to say in analogous terms, in analogy, just as the fourth of the ways of higher evolution is a mysterious path, the path taken by those who are trained to become members of the fifth creative hierarchy. So this mystery is incident upon the relationship of the fifth hierarchy to the five liberated groups. So somehow, this sign Capricorn, which is the expression or the sign expressing through through the fifth creative hierarchy, also expresses the signs Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Cancer, which are the expressions of the four liberated creative hierarchies and the one which almost is. So, you know, it represents synthesis. In the lower seven planes or worlds of the cosmic physical plane. This relation in connection with our particular planet, which is not a sacred planet, can be somewhat understood if the history of the Buddha and his work is contemplated, and this is hinted at in the volume, third volume of the Secret Doctrine. Well, the Buddha was to go to Sirius, on the path to Sirius. I don't know, maybe as part of a training to become a solar angel. I'm not sure. Maybe there are other opportunities there if one treads the path to Sirius. But he decided, or it was decided, that he would not do that. The Buddha was to have trodden the path to Sirius before he incorrectly, apparently, chose the path of earth service. And now will not do so. The Buddha is strongly connected with the number five, the deeper number of Mercury, which he represents. Thus, the connection with the five Kumaras, are they intra-planetary Kumaras or planetary Kumaras? And I don't know, it seems to me they are intra-planetary representatives. Representatives of the five planetary Kumaras. At least this is my understanding. I do not think that these five Kumaras are aggregations of planetary logoi, and I tried to explain the many Mahamanvantaras which make a planetary logos. Anyway, the Buddha, why, you know, why would he be connected with the five? Well, the five was the number of the previous solar system from which the Buddha came. So it seems, according to credible references, which hint in that direction. A couple of things are said. I showed you one just a little while ago, and about the some 10 beings who were at a high point of expression at the close of the previous solar system, and also that the seeds of the previous solar system ripened in the Buddha. Well, maybe they had to have been planted as well, right, in that previous solar system. So somehow the Buddha, with his connection to the cosmic mental plane and to the number five through the previous solar system and through Mercury, which was so strong in the previous solar system, has this connection with the five liberated Kumaras. When I say that, of course, I realize there's always one that's not quite liberated and that is still on the cosmic physical plane. And I wonder, you know, what the liberation of those, of that fifth group, will do for the solar angels and for man with which that fifth group is strongly connected. I dealt with this a little bit earlier in some of the discussion. Obviously, whenever there's an elevation of a particular group, it is the vacuum effect, and upward there is movement of the lower types. So that many masters are preparing to move on now, and we are feeling the upward draw that comes from their elevation. The law of group progress, all within the groups at different levels are elevated as the higher ones are elevated. And in a certain sense, we cannot help but elevate other human beings when we ourselves rise. The relationship of the fifth hierarchy to a certain constellation has also a bearing upon this mystery, and we learn, I think, there may be a connection between this creative hierarchy and Libra and also Gemini, but definitely with Sirius. Which sometimes is called, strangely enough, a constellation, just as our one sun solar system is sometimes called a constellation. Some research has been done on this, I think by Jeremy Kondik and Stephen Pugh, that seems to show that some of our planets, as strange as it may seem, have actually been stars. And I remember particularly that Mars had been a star. So do we have a degeneration now that it has become the planet or a planet? It seems like it has descended by a certain order. I can't find the reference, but I know that Jeremy can find that reference. This is hidden in the karma of the solar logos and concerns his relationship to another solar logos. So to a certain constellation. Now, you know, of course, we do have our own seven solar systems is a constellation, which may which I theorize includes our sun and also the star Sirius, and I suppose with Sirius B, which figures prominently in the Egyptian mysteries, so my wife Tuya tells me, and which is connected very much with the fourth initiation with the eye, whereas Sirius A is connected with the throne or mastership and is seen on top of the head. So what constellation are we talking about here? Or is it the constellation of the dragon altogether? This is hidden in the karma of the solar logos, ours, and concerns his relationship to another solar logos and the interplay of force between them in a greater Mahakalpa. So is there a lesser Mahakalpa? You know, as I said, the word Mahamanvantara usually means one complete occult century, but there is a section in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire where these terms are differently used, and the Mahamanvantara is a smaller span. So anyway, this could be very much serious, but this is the true secret of the dragon, and it was this dragon influence or serpent energy which caused the influx of monastic or mind energy into the solar system. We know that Sirius conferred cosmic manas of a certain kind upon our solar logos. However, entangled closely with the karma of these two cosmic entities was that of the lesser cosmic entity, which is the life of our planet, the planetary logos. So we have kind of a triangle here, I think. Triangle between a Sirius, soul, and Earth. When we call our sun soul, it's do, re, mi, fa, sol, you know. It reminds one of the fifth note, or the G, which is expressing, from one perspective, the second ray. Also called Helios. Does that mean the Most High? It was this triple karma that brought in the serpent religion and the serpents or dragons of wisdom in the Myrian days. The dragons of wisdom were the solar angels, from one perspective. It had to do with solar and planetary kundalini or serpent fire, and one wonders whether the appearance of these solar angels was not as fiery serpents in their own element. I'm remembering a picture of Master Moria which looks like a communion with a fire being. And I wonder whether the appearance of some of these fire beings did not look serpentine, perhaps telling us something about the undulation of their energy. A hint lies in the fact that the constellation of the dragon has the same relation to the one greater than our logos as the center of the base of the spine has to the human being, and we might add as Earth has to the solar logos. So that is, what we're basically saying is Draco is as the base of spine center to the one about whom naught may be said. Somehow this is all tied in together. Draco is the source of Budi, it seems, through the Pleiades. You know, and again, is it the tail wagging the dog? It seems to me that the Pleiades are the greater constellation, having some thousand stars there. Some might accuse me of simply saying that the greater the number, the greater the being, but so it often is. And when you have a star cluster, a constellation of some thousand stars, all of which are pretty hot and pretty advanced, it might just be the home of a greater entity, or the means of expression of a greater entity than, you know, just a few stars in a constellation, and most of those stars being of lesser luminosity than the Pleiades. We know so little, but it's very encouraging that one day we will know more. But as much as we know, it's always, like I say, an ultimate negligibility. This is like, you know, some kind of mantram that is working in my mind, that any definite quantity is ultimately an ultimate negligibility when contrasted with absolute infinitude. So it's as if everything really is nothing after all, or next to nothing. That's one of those third-ray digressions, if I can. A hint lies in the fact that the constellation of the dragon has the same relation. So we're talking about planetary kundalini or serpent fire. Well, if we are talking of kundalini, then Draco can be involved and can be a stimulus through Sirius and our sun to our Earth, which is in a position to be a source of solar systemic kundalini, since Earth will represent, or maybe does already represent, the base of the spine center of the solar locus. So we've got all these things involved, you know, the serpent religion, the serpents of wisdom, the serpents of wisdom were initiates, and the system of initiation, which makes them serpents, comes from Sirius. But of course, Draco is a much greater source than Sirius. You know, it has more powerful stars and more stars, and it's an entire constellation of many stars, and has a exalted place in the heavens up near the poles. And Sirius is still a dwarf star, as important as it may be for us. So it concerns stimulation and vitalization with a consequent coordination of the manifesting fires. And that's everything that Kundalini does. That is precisely what Kundalini does. It stimulates, coordinates, manifests. It purifies as well. So all tied together are Draco, Sirius, Sol, and Earth. And the power to make dragons of wisdom comes from Draco and also from Sirius. It is as if... It is as if one can become a lesser dragon of wisdom through the power of the greater dragon and the lesser dragon, dragon Saturn. And one can become a serpent of wisdom through the influence of Sirius. A master is a lesser dragon of wisdom and must receive some Draco influence, and especially when choosing the first cosmic path. And I'm going to make an abbreviation here because I know the time is soon coming. The first cosmic path on the way of higher evolution. So all of those are tied together. And if we are to become as wise as serpents, it will be because of the influence of Sirius. And if we are to become lesser dragons of wisdom, it will be through the power of Draco, but the Pleiades will also be involved. The Pleiades will convey cosmic buddhi, which assists with the development of identification, which characterizes every Chohan on the first cosmic path of Earth's service. So, you know, just the way human beings can cooperate, so these greater entities can cooperate. And just because you cooperate with one doesn't mean you can't cooperate with another. Yeah, that's it. You know, we say, well, you know, the function of this particular systemic or cosmic entity is to work in this direction, but it may have many relations. We have relations, for instance, with many peers, with superiors, with those who have not come as far as we have. We have all kinds of relations, and why should not these great planetary, systemic, solar, cosmic beings, etc., have relationships with a number of different entities, some on their own level, some greater and some lesser. So the lines of cooperation or relationship between these entities, we are just beginning to fathom, just a little. All right. Well, anyway, let me say that all this is very mysterious, but it requires that we know the multiple functions of certain of the great lives. And, you know, we tend maybe to fixate upon one of those functions and forget that that every entity will have more than one ray, and according to the ray, certain functions will emerge. A clue to the mystery also lies in the relation of the fifth group to the two contracting poles. I remember when I first recorded esoteric astrology and I saw this, I said, oh, must be a mistake. Must be contrasting poles. So I think I fudged the pronunciation of the word, trying to find that fourth ray middle ground, contracting poles, whatever I did. But yes, they are the contracting poles, and the divine intermediaries, the fifth creative hierarchy, are the intermediaries which draw these poles together magnetically. So we're, you know, eventually we're hoping to be the monadically infused lower being. In other words, we're hoping to be the monad in incarnation, and the higher triad and the lower triad are drawn together by these benign uniters. They are the fivefold links. Again, that number five, so important. Now, you know, their structure must be fivefold, and I think I've sometimes talked about that. And I've talked about ways of looking at the fiveness of these beings, at least if the egoic lotus which they produce is any representation of their nature. You know, there's the jewel in the lotus. There is the three, well, how can we do this? Jewel in the lotus, synthesizing petals, and the mental, emotional, and physical petals. Now there's a five. Or another way of doing this is the jewel and the lotus and the three synthesizing petals, plus the sacrifice, love, and knowledge petals, that's four, and then the three members of the atomic triangle, which are a unit at the base of the egoic lotus, that's another five. But what may be the fivefold nature? Well, they certainly do. They are manas in a way. They are higher manas. They are love and manas, and they represent the number five of the previous solar system. So what may be the fivefold structure of a solar angel? That's what we would have to look for. What may be the fivefold structure of a solar angel? They are benign uniters, uniting spirit and matter. They are producers of the at-one-ment between the higher and the lower aspects of man. At-one-ment between the higher and lower aspects of man. They provide the middle periodical vehicle. Let's call it periodical vehicle to unite the highest and lowest of the periodical vehicles if we think of the personality as a periodical vehicle. We can also think that the dense physical body as a kind of a synthesis of many things on the physical plane is the third and lowest periodical vehicle. Esoterically, they are the saviors of the race, so, you know, they've got to be connected. Think about Venus is exalted in Pisces. So Venus, the planet of the solar angels, is exalted in Pisces, the sign of salvation. And from them emanates that principle which, in conjunction with the highest aspect, lifts the lower up into heaven. So it's almost like will and love lift the lowest aspect into heaven. What is heaven? Heaven, real heaven, begins on the higher mental plane. Real heaven begins there. Of course, you can go to seventh heaven if you like, and every one of the cosmic ethers is, in a way, a heaven, I would say. All right. When these mysteries are carefully studied and due application made to the lives of the greatest exponents of the at-one-ing principle, of whom the Christ is the greatest in recent history, it will become apparent how great and all-important is their place in the scheme. You know, the need, we say, there is a need in this second solar system to draw the first and third aspects together, often by divine intervention, but never so intervening as in the case of our planet. I think the solar angels, the Manasa Devas, although they are active on the many planets, have a tougher job on our particular planet, because in a way the divine will of the first aspect and the condition of the third aspect are farther apart, and so it's a very big stretch. You know, they are making themselves, in the vernacular, sort of a bridge over troubled waters. And that bridge has a lot of tension to it, because there's such a gap, in a way, between the higher aspects of man and the lower. And these solar angels make possible the expression of Buddhic love in our solar system. At least they assist the solar logos in this task. This is the task that we have actually working out now. love in our solar system, the secondary solar system. Well, actually, I'm pretty much on time now, which is shocking. So I'm going to say that this is the end of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 6A. 6A. And what page are we on? Page 1204. Nice to see those big page numbers. It makes you feel like you have some accomplishment going. And beginning of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries 6B, page 1204.